Lord, everybody, you may be seated for just a moment. What an honor to be here. Thank you folks for putting up with us and tolerating. I tell Sis Schubert quite often, thanks for tolerating me, and I'll tell you the same thing. Thanks for tolerating us and putting up with us, and we're just honored to be here, and I'm honored to be in the house of the Lord. I'm honored to be one of God's kids. I'm honored to be part of his church. I'm honored to be part of his. He didn't have to have me. He didn't have to have you. But you know what? He said, you haven't chosen me. I chose you. Think about it for just a minute. The God that created everything handpicked you out of a world of billions of people. And God could have had anybody. Who am I that he picked me? My goodness alive. Think of the honor that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords handpicked you out of a world that's full of people. God could have had anybody, but you know what? You must be pretty important for him to pick you. So isn't it an honor to be in God's house? And I'm so glad to see all of you and to bring the word of the Lord to you. I feel that I've heard from the Lord. In fact, a few weeks ago, the Lord gave me a message, and I have not preached it, so I could not shake it from my mind. I feel like I've brought a message to at least one individual, maybe several even. The thing about it, and this has been my feeling for I don't know how long, I guess ever since I felt really like I was called a minister, that we don't know when we are scheduled to preach. We don't know who's going to be here. And if I knew every one of you by name, you may be sitting there with a big smile on your face, but there may be a storm brewing inside. You see, you can hide things from me. You can hide things from Pastor, but you can't hide anything from the Lord. And so I beseech the Lord when I'm going to be preaching, I say, God, you know who's going to be there, and you know exactly what's needed. And I feel that not egotistically, not bragging, I feel that God has given me a message for some people today that needs to hear what I'm about to preach. People ask me, am I going to be preaching? I say, I will if the Lord will help me. I can't preach without the Lord helping me. I'm not one of these that feels like, man, I can do it with or without God. I can't do it. I have prayed countless, and I say countless times, God, don't ever let me go to that pulpit if you ain't going also. I am totally, utterly, and absolutely dependent on him who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't preach just because I want to preach. I preach because God has called me. And I preach with the intent and with a prayer, God, let me be a blessing. Let me be an inspiration. Let me be an uplifter. God, make me strong so that I can help the weak. I never want to hurt anybody, but I want to help you to become stronger in the Lord. I want to help build your faith. I want you to see that things that sometimes are not going like you want them, it's not because God doesn't care. God is always working, whether you see him or whether you feel him or not. Like the little chorus said, when you can't see him, he's still working. When you don't feel him, he's still working. When you don't know where he is, he's still working. And let me tell you today, he is not very far from every one of you. So with the help of the Lord, I want to go into the word of the Lord and bring to you what I feel that God has laid on my heart. It's amazing. And it is amazing how God can, you know, have you ever felt like, well, in fact, I have actually seen it happen. I probably shouldn't have seen it, but I was standing within seeing distance. And years ago, I saw and I heard one of our church members. I was not the pastor. This was before I became a pastor or a full-time minister. But I heard an individual, one of the church members, tell our pastor, said, "You talk to him." And our pastor said, "I haven't said nothing to him." See, that's why you know you don't have any secrets from the Lord. And any preacher that will go and preach just because he knows somebody's doing something, this is Schubert, okay? Please understand, Schubert thinks he ain't worth a flip if he's just preaching because he knows you're doing something. But if he preaches and don't know you're doing it, that ain't him. That's God letting him say something that will tug at your heartstrings and help you to become better. God don't always bless you because you've been good. Sometimes he blesses you real good when you haven't been good, but he does it to encourage you to be better and to grow stronger. Going into the word of the Lord tonight, I'm going to the book of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and then St. John. That's a lot of long ways from one another, but I feel that this is the scripture that God wants me to bring to you today. And you have learned by now that I'm not normally a long-winded preacher. I don't like to say that because sometimes when I do, I go a little bit longer. But it's so good to see all of you. Brother and Sister Coon, it's so good to see you folks. Love you folks. In fact, can I just be transparent and say I love all of you folks? We've been here so much, I feel like you're family. So, and sometimes family is harder to preach to than total strangers. Because you certainly don't know total strangers, and sometimes you know family, and sometimes, in fact, I know a preacher, I know him well, and he doesn't live too awful far from where his family lives, and he said, "I don't want my family in my church. I don't want to try to pastor them." So he knows his family. And I've never felt like that. In fact, just for the record, when we went to Tyler to assist Brother Wigan there for a year, my mother was still in the church that I was raised in. And for 15 years, I taught her Bible studies. I witnessed to her. And one Sunday morning, she came and I preached a simple little message. My message that morning was, "Are you whole born or half born?" I've never felt led to preach it before or since. And when church was, and before I'd teach my mother Bible studies, and she'd say, "Son, I see that, but I don't see it." Now that sounds like a contradiction, but I understand because I was raised in that church. But that Sunday morning when church was over, she came to me and said, "Well, son, I see that. I want to get baptized." 15 years preaching and teaching my mother. However, after I would teach my mother a Bible study, my brother-in-law, who was a preacher in that church, would come to my mother and say, "Granny, don't you listen to Marlo. Don't you listen to him." And it would keep her torn. But let me tell you, that Sunday morning, God opened her eyes. So sometimes God gives a preacher something that will open their eyes. And I pray this morning that God will open your eyes if there's something going on in your life. You know what? I believe God's about to open your eyes and let you see the other side of the coin, as the old saying goes. 1 Kings chapter number 17, beginning of verse number 8. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Turning over to 2 Kings chapter number 7, reading verse 8 and 9, and then jumping down to verse number 16. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Verse number 16. And the people went out and spoiled the tents. At verse 18. And it came to pass, as the man of God has spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about the same time in the gate of Samaria. He had prophesied that. Let me jump all the way over to St. John now and read from St. John chapter number 21 and verse beginning at verse number 1. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. Lord, I love you from the very, very, very depths of this man's soul. And I thank you for this opportunity to break the bread of the word. And I ask you, Lord, let it be not that me that speaks, but you, would you use these vocal cords and these lips of clay and flesh to speak to this precious people, I pray, and let them know beyond a doubt that what I say comes from you and not from you. Thank you for it, Lord. And we give all praise and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a good hand praise as you sit down. You may be seated. And with the help of the Lord, for just a little while, I want to preach to you from this thought. When God takes something bad and turns it around and makes something good out of it. And God is the only one I know that can do that. I've seen it happen time after time. But I want to talk to you today because I don't know what's going on in your life. I've told my wife many times, things may look good on the surface in people's life and in their hearts, but you don't know what goes on inside the walls of their home or their office, wherever they work. Brother O.W. Weems told me one time, a long time ago, he said, Brother Hubert, you cannot tell what's in a man's heart by talking to him. And as I mentioned to you a few moments ago, you may have a smile on your face when your world may be upside down and things may go in on, that you wonder, God, what in the world is happening? May I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, that God can take what looks so terrible and what sounds so bad and seems to be no way out of it, but through prayer and keeping a good attitude, God can turn that thing around and make something good out of it. I got to thinking, and I never really, I've thought about it so many times, but never really like I did after God began to deal with me about this widow woman. She had one son. We know nothing about that son, how old he was. We don't know why she was a widow. I have had to preach to the funerals of a couple of people that committed suicide. And I kind of believe that people that commit suicide, they're not in their right mind, because the body doesn't want to die. That body will fight to live on its own, with whether you want it to or not. But this widow woman had absolutely no hope. And I've often thought, when people have no hope and you don't have a dream, what do you have? You say, when you get so old, you can't dream. I'm pretty old, but I still got dreams of the future, and I still buy things and I do things, and I get to thinking, I must be planning on living a while longer. I know at my age the odds are against me living a long time, but I want to leave this world with a dream and with a plan. And I can imagine this woman without any hope of the future, because she said, I'm going to bake one little cake and I'm going to eat it, and my son, we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. Can I tell you, a sad situation, a bad mess, a life without a dream, a life without a hope. But isn't it just like our God to show up on the scene and take what looks hopeless and turn it around and make something good out of it? Oh my. I thought, I want to jump in here just a minute. And I don't have it anywhere in my notes. But I thought, out of the prodigal son, the story of it, he left on a sour note. He left on a bad situation. And I'm thinking, the way he left with a smart aleck attitude, it seems like, I don't know, but it seemed like he didn't leave under good circumstances. Dad, give me what's coming to me and let me go have a good time. I understand the older brother feeling like he did, but I want to show you the difference. When a bad situation and that son left, and basically I'm never coming back, felt like I've got plenty. Let me tell you, you could lose everything in a moment's time. Your bright tomorrow can turn into a dark storm. But I've come to tell you, the storm doesn't matter to God. The bad situation is nothing to God. It may look like there's no hope, but when you've got God, you've always got hope. The situation does not make any difference. You say, I've got a hard road to hoe. It may be hard for you, but it's not hard for God. And let me ad lib, if you don't mind, and give you what I think was the attitude in the situation. God had prepared this widow to sustain Elijah, but I don't know if she knew that or not. Scripture doesn't indicate whether she knew or not. But Elijah came up, and I don't think they knew one another. And she's gathering a few sticks. And he said, get me a drink of water. Okay. And as she was going to get him a drink of water, he said, wait. Bake me a little cake first. And the hopelessness in her answer stands out to me. She says, I can't. I can't bake you a cake because all I've got is a little oil and a little meal. And I'm going to cook my son and me a little old cake. And we're going to eat it and then we're going to die. Utter desperation, utter hopelessness, resigned to death. Coming to claim us. Let me tell you, when God arrives on the scene, death has no hold on God. I've come to tell you, that problem that seemed so out of whack, that life that seemed so messed up, I've come to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God can turn it around, and God can make something that looks and seems so bad, He can make something good out of it. The amazing, you know what? I would not dare do it. But if I were to ask every individual in here, how were you before you became a child of God? I promise you, I'll guarantee you, some of us it would shock you. I had a man who was basically my assistant years ago. And when I found out how he used to be, I would look at him sometimes and I just could not fathom him being like he used to be. Because you see, let me give you a story, a true story. I knew this man. I knew him and his wife both. And he was a bad dude. His wife got in the church. And he hated it. And he would try every way he could to get her out of the church. And one night she was down by her bedside praying. And he got so angry at her. Brother Purtle, he drew his foot back to kick her. And he couldn't bring it forward. God locked it in the back. And he couldn't bring it forward. And that old boy thought, you know what? He had a bad situation. But God turned it around. And God made a long-winded preacher out of that man who was so bad. Can I tell somebody today, you may have a loved one that looks like they're bad. And it looks like they're never going to come into the house of God. Can I tell you, God can lock that leg. Or God can shut the mouth. If God can shut the mouth of a lion, God can shut the mouth of a man. And that thing that looks so bad, God can turn it around and make something good out of it. Oh my. And this little old widow woman that had little oil and little meal, God turned it around and fed. I don't know how many he fed, but it said her and her son and her household and Elijah ate for a minute. You say, preacher, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but does anybody know what it's like when to be totally broke? If you're like I've been when I was totally broke, you think I ain't ever going to have any money again. It seems like, man, I'm always going to be broke. I hadn't thought about this little phrase in a long time. Has anybody ever heard that phrase, I'm flat as a flitter? You know, I used to be so broke, I couldn't tell I had my billfold in my back pocket. It didn't make much of an indentation. And you may be like that now. Your purse may be so lightweight that you start to pick it up and it feels like a balloon. Let me tell you, God can take your broke and turn around and put money in your billfold and in your bank account. Let me tell you, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he owns the oil and the gold that's underneath that hill. You say, I got a bad situation, but God can take a bad situation and turn it around and make something good out of it. I was preaching in a different place some years ago. Pastor asked me, said, "Brother Schubert, come help me pray for this young lady." It was on a Sunday night. And they were poor. They were poor. And this couple, her and her husband, had a man owed them some money and he wouldn't pay them. She also had a physical problem. And pastor and myself prayed for her. And I happened to be back in that church preaching Wednesday night. And she was back Wednesday night. This man had just flatly wouldn't pay him. And guess what happened Monday? The man called them and said, "You know what? I need to pay y'all." Monday, the day after we prayed. And then she got to thinking she didn't hurt anymore. And the God that sent money for their bank account healed her body. God can do more with a bad situation than you could even imagine. Can I tell you, God can turn a bad situation around. And God can make something good out of it. And maybe you've got something. You don't know how I'm going to get out of this. You don't know how I'm going to handle it. Turn it over to God. And watch God do like he did to those people. Or watch God do like he did the little widow woman. When he supplied the meal and he supplied the oil. And God said, "I'm going to supply every one of your needs. It doesn't matter what it is. God is more than able to turn it around and make something good out of it." I'm preaching to somebody that needs to hear this. And I rarely say anything like that. Who would have thought four lepers would be the message bearer to bring deliverance? They couldn't go in the city and they couldn't go in the enemy's camp. They were in a mess. But they said, "We can't go in the city. What are we going to do? They're starving anyway, so what good's it going to do to go in there?" You know, sometimes you go to borrow, and the one you want to borrow from ain't got nothing either. And you wonder, "God, how am I going to get out of this?" Watch how God can do it. I know a preacher. In fact, we've been friends for many years. We've shared stories, true stories. And he told me one time, he said, we were evangelizing and we closed the revival and we didn't have any groceries, no money. And he said, was close to Christmas. And we went home and wife said, "What are we going to do?" And he said, "I don't know except pray." And he said, "I was sitting on the front porch and this Ford car drove up." And bear in mind, we've been poor, but our cupboards have never been totally bare. They've been pretty slim, but not totally bare. But I'm preaching when God turns a bad thing around and makes something good out of it. I'll get back to the four lepers in a minute. And the friend that was telling me this said this Ford car drove up in the yard and this man got out of it. And he called his name and said, "I don't know what's going on." But he said, "I was in the grocery store and said, I got me a buggy." And he said, "God told me," said, "get another buggy." And he said, "I thought I don't need two buggies." And God said, "Get another buggy." And he said, "I started getting groceries for me, and I'd go down the aisle, and God said, put that in that buggy. Put that in that buggy. Put that in that buggy." And when he got through, the second buggy was buzzing. It was full, and he said, "Now take it to Brother So-and-so." And it said, I don't know why God did this, because he didn't know they were like they were. And he said, Brother Schubert, the back seat of that Ford was absolutely full of groceries. You say, what's that got to do with me? You may be in need today. What's what God's about to do? God can move on somebody just like he did on that man. I've come to tell you, God can take a desperate situation and God can turn it around and make something tremendously good out of it. And these four lepers said, ain't going to do no good to go in the city anyway. They're starving in there. So let's go down to the enemy's camp. If they kill us, we're fixing to die anyway. So let's just go down there. Excuse me. So they went down, but before they got there, the enemy had heard an army coming, and they all ran and left everything. You know what? Kind of like Brother Crosswhite got this place, ain't it? They just walked out and left everything. You see, God can move men or mountains. It doesn't matter. Brother Crosswhite's told me the story about this, and it's amazing. I tell people this all the time. God never ceases to amaze me. It is amazing how God can move. So they went in the first tent, and my goodness, what all they gathered. First thing they did is eat. And then they gathered up some treasures and went and hid. And then they went in and said, wait a minute, whoa, 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 whoa. We're not doing good if we don't go tell the people. And the prophet had told them a shekel or a flour, and this will sell for a shekel tomorrow. And a man mocked him and laughed at him. But the king went down and it was all there. And not only that, God turned the enemy camp into the Savior. Camp. I've come to tell you, it not only saved the lepers, it spared the city and supplied the needs and delivered them from an enemy. God can do much more than you can even imagine when he turns a bad situation around and makes a good thing out of it. It is amazing how God can move in situations. I was preaching in a place years ago out in Central Texas, and I had a good job, but I was on a long weekend, and after service, a man came back to me. Now, this has been plenty, please understand, this has been years ago, and this man came to me after service. And he said, Brother Schubert, God told me to give you this. And he gave me $2. You said, well, that ain't much. It was quite a bit back then. And I thanked him. He said, I didn't want to give it to you. Because he said, what he told me the next night, he came back to me the next night. And he said, that's all I had. And they had a new baby, a little baby. And he said, that $2 was to buy milk for our baby. And I was going to stop at the store and get some milk on the way home. And God said, give you that $2. And I did. And he said, I thought, God, our baby don't have no milk. What are we going to do? You know, God may send you a milk cow. And he said, when we got home, he said, my wife's sister was there. And on the table was a sack of groceries. And guess what was in that sack? A gallon of milk. A gallon of milk. Let me tell you something, folks. It looked desperate. I've been there. When I would think, God, what am I going to do? And I may have told you this before, but not long after we got in the church, I had one $5 bill to my name. No checking account, no credit card, no nothing. It was a Sunday night. We was in revival. And they took an offering and God said, give you $5. And I thought, God, I ain't got no gas. And it wasn't no payday till next Friday. And I argued with the Lord. I really did. And maybe you never have. When you ain't got but $5 and you got to have gas, you wonder, God, what am I going to do? And we were sitting a few rows back from the front seat. I can barely remember it, but I remember my feeling of, what would you call it? Fear mixed with doubt and everything else. And God kept saying, give you $5. We'd been married just a little over a year. Give you $5. And finally, I reluctantly pulled out my billfold and took that $5 bill out. And I don't know if I said it. I probably didn't, but I probably thought it. Bye, sweetheart. And I was thinking, God, what am I going to do? We drove about 5 miles from Durrell's Chapel up to White House, Texas. And we saw my wife's cousin's car that introduced us. His car was at this little old corner cafe. And I pulled in there. And Dick came out. My wife rolled her window down. That was before all these fancy buttons you push and it does it all for you. And Dick leaned into her side of the car and we're talking. And Dick said, snapped his fingers and said, you know what? I never did give y'all a wedding present, did I? And he pulled his billfold out. You know what he handed us? A $5 bill. Can I tell somebody, God can take a bad situation. God can take one where you're worried, where you're sweating. Folks, I've come to tell you, God can move mountains. God can move men. I want you to understand, God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Lord have mercy. This ought to let you know God's going to take care of you. Let me get back to my story. The lepers. And because those lepers trusted God, it not only saved them and their life, it got rid of the enemy. And it spared Samaria from the army and took care of their needs. God is about to show out to somebody and let you see just what he can do in your life and your situation. Now, for the sake of time, let me jump over to John. I love reminding myself of these stories. I forget about them. And so many times while I'm preaching, God will just remind me. And you get to enjoy them too. But it reminds me, God did this for me then. God did this for me then. God did this for me then. Let me share another one with you before I go to John. I worked at a subsidiary of Dow Chemical, which was Dow Body Shea, BASF. And I knew how to run that plant because I went to work for them before it went into production. And there was a promotion coming up, and I heard about it. And really, I should have had it. See, you can't see tomorrow, but God does. You don't see when God's working, but let me tell you, he's still working. And I went to our plant supervisor, and I said, Carl, and I didn't say that disrespectfully because we were on first name basis. He was a super, super, super nice guy. I loved Carl Burleson. And I said, Carl, what about this promotion? Well, I said, Carl, you know I should have that, but I wasn't going to get it. Another man that didn't know how to run the plant because he had a college degree and I didn't. And Carl said, Marlo, when you're on duty at 4 o'clock and I go home, I don't have to worry about this plant because you know how to run it. I said, I do. And I did. And he said, when I leave on Friday and you're on the weekends, I don't have to worry about this plant because you know how to run it. I said, Carl, it ain't right. He said, I know it don't seem right, but he said, don't get mad and jump up and quit. See, you can't see down the road, but God knows what's going on down the road. And I was working rotating shift. So I said, Carl, I'm not going to jump up and quit, but it ain't right. And we left, and I walked out of his office. And the other guy got the job, the promotion, and he couldn't handle it. But what we didn't know, there was a day job coming open down the road, just a short way down the road, Monday through Friday. And when that day job came open, guess who got it? And I didn't see it, folks. But woo, my goodness, God can take something that don't look right and it don't look fair. But hear me, God's working on the other end. And God can take your job situation. Can he do it, Brother Jeff? Can God turn the job situation around? And God can make something good out of it. And God put me on Monday through Friday so I could be in church every Sunday. My God, have mercy. God can take a bad situation and make something good out of it. And so, let me get back to John. When the Lord died, they literally gave up. It's over. Because Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing, back to his old trade. And the other said, we're going too. Let me tell you, a lot of times your actions don't only affect you, they affect others. And your words carry a lot of weight a lot of times. Peter was a leader even before he got to be the Pentecostal preacher that he was. I'm going fishing. And they said, we're going too. It looked hopeless. They knew the Lord had died, but they had forgot, or they doubted, whichever one it was, that he reminded them, I'm going to rise on the third day. And he's standing over on the banks, and they fished all night and hadn't caught nothing. And the Lord said, let your net down on the right side. And then it filled up that net. And this obviously was John, because Jesus loved John. And he looked at Peter and said, that's got to be the Lord. This didn't make sense. The Bible said Peter grabbed his coat and put it on because he was naked. Don't make sense. But he was. And dove in the ocean. Let me tell you, Lord said, I'm going to rise again. But look what we got out of a bad situation. We got salvation. We got hope. We got peace. We got joy. We got healing. And we're going to get eternal life out of a bad situation. Ladies, I hate that he died. But I'm so thankful that he was willing to die, because before that we didn't have what we got now. He took a bad situation and gave us everything. It is amazing. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, you know, the men that have died on the battlefield for our freedom, our men took a bad situation and our country made a good thing out of it. But God took a bad situation and made far better out of it. Where would we be if he had not risen like he said he would? Where would we be if he not had not went to the cross like he told them he had to do that? He died so that we can live. Let me tell you, I am so thankful for these three stories in the Bible that I have related to you, to let you know, I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I'm telling you, it may be bad. It may look bad. It may sound bad. It may even be bad. But God is about to turn it around and let you know he can take a bad thing and make something very, very good out of it. Let's stand and let's love the Lord and thank him, and let's come around the front. God gonna take a bad thing and make a good thing out of it. It is amazing what God can do when we give it to Him. He can take that that looks so bad, and when it seems like no way out, God can turn it around and make something very, very good out of it. Let's love the Lord and let's thank Him. Because what God is about to do in your life is going to amaze you. God's going to shock you. God's going to show you. It's never too bad when He comes on the scene. It's never too big for Him to take care of it. It's never beyond His ability. And God can take that bad thing that's going on in your life and make something very, very good at it. Let's thank Him right now.
He promised to hold my hand. He promised to help me stand. When the valley's too low and the river's too wide, He promised He would lead me to the other side. His promises light my way. Never let my feet to stray. Living in His word, I will overcome. Standing on His promises one by one. He promised to hold my hand. He promised to help me stand.
When the valley's too low
and the river's too wide,
He promised He would lead me to the other side. His promises light my way. Never let my feet
stay.
Oh, living in His word, promises one by one.
He promised to hold my hand. He promised to help me stand.
When the valley's too low
and the river's too wide,
He promised He would lead me to the other side. His promise is light my way. Never leave my feet to stray. Living in His word, I will overcome. Standing on His promises one by one.
He promised to hold my hand.
He promised to help me stand. Oh. When the valley's too low and the river's too wide, He promised He would lead me to the other side. His promises light my way. Never leave my feet to stray. Living in His word, I will overcome. Standing on His promises one by one.
He promised to hold my hand. He promised to help me stand. When the valley's too low,
when the river's too wide,
He promised He would lead me to the other side. His promises light my way. Never let my feet to stray. Living in His word, standing on His promises one by one. If anybody needs prayer right now, would you step forward? Anybody need anything from the Lord this morning? Anything from the Lord this morning, we can anoint you with oil. And we do it in faith. We do it in faith, knowing that God is a faithful God. Knowing that He's able. And knowing that He is willing. So this morning, if you have a need, come up and we'll pray.
He promised to hold my hand. He promised to help me stand. When the valley's too low and the river's too wide,
He promised He would lead me to the other side. His promises light my way. Never let my feet to stray. Living in His word, I will overcome. Standing on His promises one by one.
He promised to hold my hand.
He promised to help me stand.
When the valley's too low and the river's
valley's too low and the river's too wide. He promised he would lead me to the other side. His promises light my way. Never let my feet to stray. Living in his word, I will overcome. Standing on his promises one by one.
He promised to hold my head.
He promised to help me stand. When the valley's too low and the river's too wide, he promised he would lead me to the other side. His promises light my way. Never let my feet to stray. Living in his word, I will overcome. Standing on his promises one by one.
He promised to hold my hand.
He promised to help me stand.
When the valley's too low,
he will lead me to the other side. His promises light my way. Never let my feet to stray. Living in his word, I will overcome. Standing on his promises one by one.
Well, he promised to hold my hand.
He promised to help me stand. When the valley's too low and the river's too high, he promised he would lead me to the other side. His promise will feet to stray. Living in his word, I will overcome. Standing on his promises one by one.
He promised to hold my hand.
He promised to help me stand.
When the valley's too low and the river's too high,
he promised he would lead me to the other side.
His promises light my way.
Never let my feet to stray.
Let me tell you what I just felt from the Lord. Somebody's about to get a surprise. God's going to surprise you, and it's going to shock you what God's going to do. I don't say things like this off the top of my head. I feel in the Holy Ghost. I told a preacher one time, I said, when I leave, somebody's going to get a blessing. He called me a few days later, and they had got word they had were inheriting well over $100,000. Now, I'm not saying you're going to get money, but I'm telling you, God's fixing to show you something. And you're going to be amazed, because we serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing God. And nothing is too hard for the Lord.
I wonder if we could take just another moment and magnify Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, thank Him. Thank you, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I believe we've heard from the word of the Lord today. Amen. God is good to us.